So now may I speak and may you hear in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
A good Samaritan jumps on a knife man stabbing a woman on the New York subway. A good Samaritan returns a man's lost wallet using an ingenious tactic. I didn't Google that one further. I don't know what the ingenious tactic was, I'm afraid. Homeless good Samaritan spends 2 days reuniting a woman with her lost handbag. The term good Samaritan has entered common parlance, and these three are just a few of the headlines in one particular newspaper that have featured the phrase Good Samaritan in the past year. These examples pick up on some of the key components of the story. The generosity of the Samaritan, help coming from unexpected places, and also some sort of self-sacrifice, putting oneself into danger to help others who are less fortunate. It's always tricky preaching on such a familiar passage as the Good Samaritan, which is surely one of the most familiar Bible stories. But my guess is that, like me, you find it very easy to identify with the Good Samaritan. He is the character that we're quite clearly called to emulate. Jesus ends the reading with that line, "Go and do thou likewise." But the richness of Jesus' parables, and this one is no different, is that we can often identify with most, if not all, of the characters in the story. And so my question this morning is, what would it look like if we tried this morning to identify with some of those other characters, to see the story, which is very familiar, from and through different lens? And I think what we realise when we do that, yes, we are called to be like the Good Samaritan. We are called to be merciful and charitable. But if we view the story through those other lenses as well, we realise that we can only do that because we have also been the wounded man by the roadside who himself has been rescued and brought into the inn that is the church. And so the Samaritan is the easiest and most obvious character to identify with. We like to think of ourselves as being the good guy in the story. And we are, as I say, instructed to go and do likewise. But note that never in the passage is the Samaritan called good. In German, the parable is referred to not as the good Samaritan, but, a lovely word, as the barmherziger Samaritan. Herz meaning heart, barmen from a medieval German verb meaning to press close. The Samaritan is literally the one who presses the wounded man close to his heart, whereas the priest and the Levite pass the wounded man by on the other side of the road. The Samaritan is the one who approaches, who comes close, who bends down, cleanses, heals, and embraces in love and mercy. The Greek equivalent verb literally means that his bowels were moved. And this verb only occurs 3 times in Luke's Gospel. The other 2 occasions being the raising of the widow's son and the prodigal son. And in those other 2 locations, Jesus is the one who shows pity. And so by using the same verb to describe both the Samaritan and Jesus, Luke is emphasizing that the Samaritan is taking Jesus' place, is being as Jesus to the man to whom he shows compassion. Just as Jesus takes pity on the crowd who are like sheep without a shepherd, so too the Samaritan takes pity and is moved, his bowels were moved, to be merciful to the man. The Samaritan occupies what we might refer to as an incarnational ministry, a ministry modelled on Christ's own and Christ's example of coming alongside and coming close. And we're all commissioned to do that in our own ministries. It's a key component of my own ministry as a school chaplain, coming alongside colleagues, coming alongside students, being with them, being close to them, accompanying them as they journey through school and through life. And this has been a challenge over the past 18 months with COVID, being able to be close to one another, to guide one another. Incarnational ministry is something that requires that closeness. It can't be done from a distance. We can't walk on the other side of the road, but we need to come close. And those of us who were longing for the return to public worship last year may have felt ourselves torn between the position of the priest and the Levite, necessarily needing to keep a distance, and that of the Samaritan, wanting to meet up, trying the best that we could to minister face to face in difficult circumstances. And so that's the Samaritan. But we can also identify with the expert in the law who questions and tests Jesus. The parable is framed by a question, and it's important that in our interpretation we don't lose sight of that question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Questions are great. They're things that, as a teacher, I want to promote. I want my students to ask questions. Asking questions is the way to understanding. It's the way to enhance knowledge. But this question is an interesting one. For the expert in the law already knows the answer. He has the whole of the Old Testament at his disposal. And it's right there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the flip side of that, if you love God, then it is only natural that you will love his other created beings, that is, humans and the rest of the natural world, that is, creation. And those are at the heart of the Old Testament. We say them in the summary of the law at the beginning of this and every Eucharist. Love of God and love of neighbour go hand in hand. Jesus' Jewish interlocutor knows exactly what the answer to the question is. He knows exactly what he is to do. And no Jew with any understanding of the Old Testament would have struggled to identify with which character he or she was supposed to identify. Jesus doesn't give us a new commandment here, but reiterates, simplifies the two central Old Testament laws, love of God and love of neighbour. So the lawyer has all of these resources at his disposal, but he wants a shortcut. Just like the pupil who asks, what do I have to do to get an A star grade in my exam? The complete answer is everything that I've taught you since the beginning of the course. Just go and get on with it. Go and do the work. Go and revise. But that's not what they want to hear. They want a simple answer. They want a simple ABC of, if I do this, this and this, then I will get the grade that I want. And the lawyer is doing something similar. He wants a simple answer. He wants a simple code. But yet in Jesus' response, realizes just how tricky the task of loving God and loving neighbor in all circumstances can be. And we can often feel daunted as well by the challenge of Christian discipleship, as the lawyer did at Jesus' response. The lawyer wanted a simple answer, but yet things have suddenly got much more complicated, much more difficult, much more nuanced, as he realises just how all-encompassing love of God and love of neighbour should be. And so we all have questions. Some of those are good questions, some less so. But the parable reminds us that Jesus engages with us in those questions. So there we go. We've identified with the Samaritan, we've now identified with the lawyer. I also think we need to see ourselves collectively as the inn. And this is something that the church fathers drew a lot of parallels in, between the inn to which the Samaritan carries the man and the church. The church is a place of shelter and of security. The church is the place that modern-day Good Samaritans should be able to bring people who need healing and help. And so a question for all of us this morning is, would the Samaritan have felt comfortable bringing his new charge to St. Botolph's? Is this a place committed to welcoming, to journeying with all who pass through our doors? And indeed those who don't, those who pass by on Trumpington Street at King's Parade on a daily basis. When people bring their friends to church, or indeed come themselves, is this a place where they know that they can find welcome and rest for their souls? Are we a neighbourly church with an open door when the Samaritan calls, asking for help for those who need healing? So also think about this church as the inn, the place to which people are brought and people feel comfortable and able to bring people for help and for healing. But the final person that we're asked to identify with in the story is the wounded man. We are all tired. We are all exhausted. We're all run down by the changes and chances of this fleeting world, as a prayer that we often say at Compline reminds us. We are looking for refuge. We are looking for purpose. Human nature is, I think, very natural to see ourselves as the ones who need to give the help, to be the Samaritan. And it's actually much easier to love others than it is sometimes to allow ourselves to be loved. But that's often what we need to do. Just recline, sit back, and let God heal, carry, and transform us. And that's what we do in this and every Eucharist. We approach the altar, we receive the bread and wine that are Christ's own body and blood, asking for that healing, asking for that nourishment. And so there is no one way of reading this story. Who do you identify most with this morning? Is it the wounded person in need of help and healing? Is it the lawyer, lots of questions, needing clarification, seeking answers? You have all of the scriptures, but maybe not yet sure how that relates to you and your daily life. Do you identify as the Samaritan, the inn, called both as an individual and corporately to minister and to heal? And in reality, I think it's all of those. And it's only when we put those different dimensions of the story together that we note that we're only able to place ourselves as the Samaritan, fulfilling that incarnational ministry to others, because we have also been in the place of the wounded man. We have been rescued, we have been healed, we have been brought to the inn, the church, ourselves. We have been brought to the holy altar, where the giver of all good things feeds him with himself, feeds us with himself. And it's then our task, our mission, to spread the healing that we ourselves have received, and do so in every Mass into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
My hope.